KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Save up to $1,200 on select Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds and adjustable bases. Plus special financing. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Savings now at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free. Or buy 10 and get 3 free. Spring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash. Car wash coupons are a great gift or for your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash next to Dutch Bros at the corner of Market and Eureka Way, downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to enter our Swipe to Win promotion starting April 1st through June 24th. Weekly drawings on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries for the $20,000 final drawing on April 29th. Keep playing for a chance to win a patio boat on May 27th. And one of 4 energy-saving Pedego electric bikes on June 24th. Join us for a safe, comfortable, and fun gaming experience at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, and more fun. WinRiver.com.
Mama Bear deserves more than just one day of celebration. So we're offering moms month-long specials at Black Bear Diner. Start with a momlet, a fluffy three-egg omelet made with delicious smoked bacon, mushroom, tomato, avocado, and cheddar cheese. Or grab a chickeny chicken sandwich. Crispy golden chicken tenders on a brioche bun. Topped with American cheese, bacon, mayo, and house-made bacon ranch dressing. Top it off with a mocha cream pie. Offered all month, anytime, any day at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner. Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Live American history at Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, American Adventure 1607. Actively explore the fates of early colonists in North America through a blend of gameplay and authentic history. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready for a CSU, UC, or four-year university. Or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree from Shasta College. Our summer session offers flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings that easily fit around jobs and family responsibilities. Right now is the perfect time to invest in your future. A degree or certificate from a community college will pay dividends throughout your lifetime with an average annual wage of almost $53,000. And at Shasta College, our industry partners are actively looking to hire qualified candidates from our programs to fill the many positions they have open. Financial aid through grants and scholarships can help you invest in your education without a huge bill when you graduate. Contact a counselor and plan a cool summer of hot classes today. Summer session classes begin June 7th. Achieve more, earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll today at Shasta College.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The town of Delta was established by the California and Oregon Railroad in 1884 at the confluence of the Sacramento River and Dog Creek. Railroad officials turned the site into a temporary railhead terminal, laid out a town site, and gave it a more dignified name of Delta because of the similarities of the town site terrain and the Greek letter Delta. Redding and Shasta merchants flocked to the area to open stores, believing it would be another red-hot railhead town like Redding. Delta soon thrived, but almost disappeared as fast as it had appeared. What little remained became a stopover for steam engines to take on water for the rest of the climb through the canyon. Delta still exists today as a very small, quiet community. This moment in history was brought to you by KCNR and Shasta County historian Dottie Smith. For more stories like this, find Dottie Smith on Amazon or at the Shasta Historical Society.
Join us for Turtle Bay's Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show, running Tuesday to Sunday at 11 a.m. and noon. This fun-filled educational wildlife show gives you a special look at Turtle Bay's most beloved animals. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Compass Sports Cards, locally owned and operated at 1620 East Cypress Avenue across from Hill Collision Center, is your home base for trading cards and signed sports memorabilia with modern and vintage sports cards and collectibles. Compass Sports Cards features baseball, basketball, football cards, and is the largest supplier of non-sports Pokemon cards. Buy, sell, or trade with Compass Sports Cards, open from 11 to 6 Monday through Saturday. Do you have a collection? Have it appraised at Compass Sports Cards before or after hours at 1620 East Cypress Avenue. Call 355-2016 or stop by today and check us out on Facebook. Compass Sports Card.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come. 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Mama Bear deserves more than just one day of celebration. So we're offering moms month-long specials at Black Bear Diner. Start with a momlet, a fluffy three-egg omelet made with delicious smoked bacon, mushroom, tomato, avocado, and cheddar cheese. Or grab a chickadee chicken sandwich. Crispy golden chicken tenders on a brioche bun. Top with American cheese, bacon, mayo, and house-made bacon ranch dressing. Top it off with a mocha cream pie. Offered all month, anytime, any day at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423 at Advanced Automotive.
Very often we write down a sentence too early, then another too late. What we have to do is to write it down at the proper time, otherwise it's lost. Thomas Bernard.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hole.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Happy NaNoWriMo!
Woo-woo!
We are the second day into November. I hope you've started your process to achieving your NaNoWriMo goals. To give you a little bit of motivation, we are doing a month-long giveaway.
You've heard us talk about the merchandise of Write Selfishly on a t-shirt and on mugs and that kind of thing.
Now on masks.
These will be what we're giving away at the end. We will do a drawing on our Facebook page.
So what you need to do to be entered into the giveaway is to like our Facebook page and then find one of us on NaNoWriMo website. We will include links to this on Facebook, on the landing page of this episode, and in the About Me section on our website.
And then every day that you hit your word goal, you'll be entered into this drawing for the end of the month.
Just send us a message on Nano saying, hey, I'm entering your giveaway, and we will keep an eye on the goals that you enter into the Nano website.
This is simply meant to be motivation to get you to be writing your book.
For me personally, Nano means a lot. I did the Camp July Nano, and that's what ended with me having a finished book. That's what ended with me having Toxic be able to release and publish. To help celebrate that, we are going to include copies of our books in this giveaway.
Our goal for this month is to give you kind of tricks of the trade, little things to keep in your arsenal when you're stuck. These little tricks will help you move your story forward. That is the purpose of this month. So the first thing we're talking about is writing right now. So, Lee, what is the biggest thing that holds you back from writing?
Perfectionism. When I hear the phrase writing right now, all I hear is writing right. I say I want it to be right the first time. I have to write it right the first time. And I don't track the right now part of it. Because when we say write it right now, we don't mean it has to be perfect right now. We mean just get it written right now.
When we are talking about your NaNoWriMo word count goals, we don't mean 1,667 perfect words. We mean 1,667 words that have been written. It's far more important to write it right now than to write it right.
Because there is no right way to write. Especially on a first draft. Word vomit if you have to, just get it on the page. And that is the first trick of the trade. Just write something. You also want to avoid asking yourself certain questions while you are writing.
And I know this from experience. I built this list because I've asked myself these questions so many times, and every time it grinds my writing process to a halt.
Question number one, does this make sense?
You are not writing selfishly if you're asking yourself that question. You are thinking about your audience during your first draft. Does it make sense to you enough to when you can look back on it and polish it later?
Fix it in post.
Another question that I find grinds me to a halt is, what is the perfect word for this moment?
Throw in a filler word that you wouldn't use anywhere else in the story. Throw in brackets. Throw in an excessive amount of asterisks. Something that you remember that you can control F, find, and change later, so you aren't getting stuck on one word. Do not let one word derail your train.
Yeah, just keep moving and trust the editing process. If you have an idea of what happens next, write it. Don't let anything stand in your way.
Another question is a question of, is this redundant or is this just completely out of the blue? Is this continuitous? I don't know if that's a real word, but I'm using it.
It's a filler word that we'll fix in post. All you're doing at that point is just chewing through your writing time. Time is especially precious during this month because you have a lot to do in very little time. If you are rereading anything else, you are not moving forward. Just physics, you can't be doing both at once. So, best guess, I think I spelled her name with two N's and not one. We'll go with it and move on. The last question that I find myself stopping myself from writing is, have I spent enough time on this? Do I need to dwell in this moment a little bit longer? Or do I need to push forward, move past this, hurry up, instead of enjoying the moments as I write them? This is often, for me, a concern about word count, because I know my target word count for the book, and I want certain things to happen a third of the way in, two-thirds of the way in. When we're changing these acts, I need to get to this point by the time I hit 30,000 words.
This is one thing that I struggled with in July when I was writing Toxic. I got to the middle and realized I didn't have enough stuff in the middle. And I worried about that. I was like, do I need to add things? Do I need to add scenes? And then I don't remember what it was, but I finally realized if I need to add scenes, I will add it later. Let me just keep moving so I can get this written before midnight on July 31st.
For the record, if you know something is wrong, don't stop your thought process. Don't stop the pen. But if you know this is not the right word and I need to fix it later, I always circle it with my pen. That's what works for me.
I use Google Docs, so if I have a thing that I know I need to change, I'll just go and highlight it. So I found myself when I was writing Toxic, going through, hitting a spot where I realized, hey, this other thing needs to happen earlier for this scene to flow right. So I would do a quick search, find that scene that needs to change, highlight, comment saying, this needs to happen, and then went immediately back to where I was to continue writing. And it was just enough for me to say, okay, when I hit this in editing, then I can say, all right, let's add this, let's fix this. But it didn't distract me for more than 5 seconds.
All you're doing is putting a post-it down for yourself.
Exactly.
If you don't do this,
I would have forgotten a lot of what I needed to change.
So this concept of writing right, right now, looks different for you plotters versus you pantsers out there.
As a pantser, it feels like there's a lot more pressure because we work so much on inspiration. We work so much with needing the muse to strike for us to work. So we sit down, we think we know where we're going. You stare at that page and your mind just goes blank. I know this. I've been there. And I'm really sorry for all you pantsers out there. I'm going to suggest probably the worst thing that all of us have to come to grips with eventually. You have to work sometimes without inspiration. You have to write down ideas as they come. Whenever that is, whether you're writing or not. And this may look a lot like an outline. But trust me, it helps. Also, stop mid-sentence. If you just start reading that sentence, it can do a lot to help you find your flow again.
Plotters, you aren't safe from this either. If you're like me, you are interested in the story because you feel like the story needs to be told. You know where you're going with it. You know what's going to happen when. And so the joy of discovering the story, of responding to the characters, can be a little lost. So make sure you don't over-outline, especially for NaNoWriMo, because then you lose enthusiasm. Last year, I switched projects mid-NaNo because I had one that I was really enthusiastic for, but I didn't know where I was going with it. I'm like, let's go find, see what happens. And now the other one is published.
So, what are you waiting for? You're already on the second day of November. Get to work. Start writing. What is stopping you from writing that next scene?
Make sure your family knows, hey, from 4 to 8 in the morning, every morning, I'm going to be writing. Don't try to call me. Don't try to come in and ask for waffles. I will punt you out of the room if you try to interrupt me.
I am checked out for this time so I can reach my goal. If what's stopping you is you're not sure what's next, what is the next thing you know is going to happen? What needs to happen for that to occur? And what needs to happen for that to occur? Work your way backwards until you get to the point in your story where you're stuck. And then write. And if you have to, if you are sitting there staring at a blank page, skip whatever is holding you back, jump to the good parts, and get into it. Just get those words down.
I find that when I skip ahead, I'm skipping stuff that I would have edited out anyway. So I'm not wasting my time and wasting the reader's time, and then going, well, the reader needs to know this. Skip ahead, integrate it where you need to, move on. Leaving question marks in your character's backstory, in the world, blank edges of the map, things like this can be helpful in keeping your flow going. Because if you don't know, the reader probably doesn't need to know right away. So it's okay to have question marks. Be thinking about those not during your writing time, if you feel like they need to be fleshed out. But the most important thing is to always
write selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
Readers tend to like a character who is at least superficially like themselves, but they quickly lose interest unless this particular character is somehow out of the ordinary. Orson Scott Card.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Happy December.
Yay.
We hope you had a good Thanksgiving. And are looking forward to all of the festive holidays that are happening this month. As we do in December, we are doing a frequently asked questions series. So we've taken your questions that you've submitted. We've taken questions that we see commonly when we are in writing forums and other places, questions that we get asked a lot, and trying to answer them here quickly and succinctly so that you know where to go, where to move forward. So what is today's question?
How descriptive are you with characters and landscape appearances? When do you describe them? And what about the sequel? Do you describe them then also?
So let's take this from the beginning. How descriptive do you get with character and landscape appearances?
My answer, as little as possible.
There are different approaches to the idea of describing characters, and it is somewhat genre-specific, but most experienced authors will agree on a couple of things. And one of those is you do not ever give a head-to-toe description just because.
Yeah, it's not often your character is going to stand in front of a mirror and notice the color of their own eyes.
No.
If anything, people tend to be self-critical. They're going to dislike something about themselves unless they're an incredibly vain character.
So it does depend on the character. That's the other thing experienced authors can agree on. It depends on the character, what they notice, and what they would describe. So, when do you describe characters? And this will go into how descriptive you get.
When I am describing any character, it's almost never from that character's point of view. He is noticing her across the room. She is checking somebody out.
It depends on the point of view. But you need to have a specific reason for describing the character in that moment. Think about the last time you met someone. How much about them did you notice? Did you really go full creeper and do a full body scan, taking note of every aspect of their body?
I really hope if you do this, there's some sort of comedic twist at the end. You're looking at her from the back and across the bar. And you see the fantastic stiletto heels that perfectly match the short skirt and the long legs in between, the slender waist to get up to the front. The character turns around and full beard or something just completely off the wall. It was like, oh, okay, we're going on a different path here.
Again, that's a specific plot device to use there. Number one, your readers don't want to be overwhelmed with description. It gets boring. And number two, the more vague you are, especially with your main character, the more connected your reader can feel to them.
I would say most of the time, if I'm describing a character, that character is probably going to die in the length of the scene. This is mostly because I don't want to name guard one and guard two, so I'm going to say the fat one and the one with the stupid hair. They aren't going to last long. Not long enough for me to name them, but if they have two different bits of choreography, they need to be differentiated, therefore physical attributes are an easy way to do that.
So another time to describe that goes along with there's a specific reason is if there's something atypical about that character's body. Maybe they're missing an eye. Maybe they have severe scars on their face or some kind of disfigurement that stands out that will catch your main character's eye first.
Again, when your character is noticing something about themselves, it's rarely going to be a positive note, because that's how a lot of people are, especially if your main character at the beginning of your story is going to believe a lie about themselves. I just had a scene where my character caught a glimpse of herself in a mirror, and she immediately turned away because she doesn't like what she sees.
When it comes to your main character's hair color, that kind of stuff, there needs to be a reason for it. So for my main character in my last book, because she likes to dye her hair, she has black hair with emerald highlights. There's a scene where she's kind of messing it up because she has a pixie cut, and she's trying to tease out those highlights to make them really stand out. So to sum up this of how and when to describe, think yourself. When you meet someone, when you're hanging out with someone, when is it that you notice something about their physical appearance? When is the last time that you met someone and immediately noticed their eye color? And do you really think in your head, oh, what delicious chocolate brown eyes those are? Honestly, no one notices brown eyes. Brown eyes are, sorry to say it, boring. They blend in most often.
If he has eyes like the sea after a storm, I don't quite know what that means, but it says something about her more than it does about him. He's got grayish blue eyes. Yay.
And that goes for a lot of your descriptions. It tells us more about the person describing them than the person being described. So if you are in a bar and watching for that really attractive person you want to hit on, and you give us a full-blown top-down description, I'm going to think you are a creeper that has stared entirely too long.
But if you're noticing height, skin color, tattoos, interesting markings, then you might be in law enforcement. You might not necessarily be there to pick somebody up at all.
You may be looking for someone to arrest.
And of course, if you're most of my characters, you are seeing somebody and their posture, where they sit, what kind of awareness they have of their surroundings, because you're assessing a threat level. You don't really care what color their skin is. You care if they watch when somebody comes in the front door.
So who is your character and what would they notice? That's how you decide when and how much to describe.
So what about a landscape?
A lot of the same principles apply here. It's when the characters would notice the landscape. If there is a new location, so they just arrived at this beautiful meadow covered with wildflowers, you can go a little bit into describing it.
One of the times when I am doing scene setting, it is intentional. I am mentioning intentional objects because then later when they pick up the vase and smash it into the bad guy's face, I don't need to describe the vase or where it is because I've already done that. A lot of my scene setting is for an upcoming fight.
That is when it's relevant to the story. The object or the thing that was described is going to be used. Remember Chekhov's gun. If you describe it, it needs to come into play somehow.
I always remember the Disney Renaissance animation style, where you've got, like, Aladdin going into the genie's cave, and you've got piles of gold and this and that, and then one object in front that's traced differently.
And then you know exactly what's going to move, because it's slightly brighter colors and more defined edges.
And fewer textures, you notice?
Yes, way fewer textures. And another time to describe a landscape is if there's world building to be done. In the Stormlight Archive series, there's quite a bit of landscape description because the world is different than ours. You have to describe that so your readers can get a good image of what's going on. But be careful. You can go too far.
Tolkien.
Don't go full Tolkien. Love his storytelling. His descriptions are too much. So, what about sequels? How do you describe things you've already described in a previous book?
There are two different kinds of sequels. We've talked about that before. One is an episodic where you can just pick out anyone, such as the Jack Reacher series, in which case he has basically one sentence that he uses in all of them, where he gives his height, weight, and hair color. But it's very brief, and we just sort of go with it for the rest of the time.
Even if it's serial, you go on the assumption that your readers have forgotten. They will need a reminder, but not an entire breakdown. Believe it or not, there are people out there in the world that read book 2 or 3 before they ever read book 1. So you do need something, but it doesn't have to be a full-blown description. Your readers can make something up in their mind without a description. Let them. Let them use their imaginations because it makes them more connected to the story.
You don't want to lose your fans from the original book because you're wasting their time in the second book.
You do, however, want to make specific mentions if something has changed between those books. So I mentioned earlier that my main character likes to dye her hair. So in the first book, she has black hair with green highlights, and in the book I'm writing now, she has slightly longer hair and it's purple. And I make a specific mention of that change, just so I make sure the readers don't look at that and go, wait, did I miss something? I thought there was something different earlier, different before.
Yeah, you don't want them to catch you in a continuity error because you're just changing things from book to book. Acknowledging the previous book or the previous state is a way to transition with a clean slate.
So overall, descriptions are good. They can really add to your story. But don't overwhelm your readers. Brief descriptions are good. One to two things at a time, because that's what we notice.
It all comes back to, is your reader enjoying the book? Are they feeling bogged down, or are they getting immersed in the details? That circles back to how you are writing it. If you don't remember, leave it out, move on. If you are writing because you think someone else thinks you need to have this in here, that's always dangerous, especially on your first draft. Because really, what you should be doing is
writing selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
Metaphors have a way of holding the most truth in the least space. Orson Scott Card.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hole.
And I'm Lesses.
Today we are talking about the use of similes and metaphors in writing. Before we do that, though, we want to remind you that we are doing a NaNoWriMo giveaway, so if you are participating, head to our website. On the very front page, on the right-hand side, you'll find a link to get more information about how to join us and enter to win copies of our books and some Writing Roots merch.
So similes and metaphors are one of those things that I, as an author and as a human being, have kicked and screamed at and stomped my feet and hated basically my entire life. I am a literalist. Anyone who knows me outside of this podcast can tell you that I will always interpret word for word exactly what you mean before I understand anything outside of that. So if he is a dog, I think he's got ears and a tail.
Translates very literally when we're speaking to Lee. Which is funny because I think you use more metaphors in your writing than I do.
A lot of that is because I'm trying to convey physical movement in a way that makes sense and doesn't come across technical. If he's blocking a punch with both hands, swiping across in like a double windmill kind of thing, that doesn't make nearly as much sense as he swiped both of his hands across his vision like windshield wipers. Okay, you've got a clear image of what that looks like.
So that is one of the uses of similes and metaphors. In one line, you can convey an idea in a shorter amount of time than it would take to explain it literally.
So what is a simile? What is a metaphor?
A simile is a direct comparison. You use like or as. An example of a simile: she dipped the cookie in the coffee like a young boy might dip his toe into a lake before his first swim.
She's doing this like someone would do that. That is the key difference between a simile and a metaphor.
Metaphors will do the comparison as if it were real. So his arms were windshield wipers swiping across his vision, instead of his arms were like windshield wipers swiping across his vision.
And of course, this is the one I struggle with, because I'm thinking he now has windshield wipers attached at the elbows. Not literally, but my first image of that moment is this.
And it all depends on your readers. There are very few people out there as literal as Lee. So you're usually good to go with similes, with metaphors, in the right scenarios.
And when you choose to use them, when you choose to apply this particular tool, is very indicative of your writing style. A lot of the authors that I follow, that I enjoy, are very literal. And if Lee Child suddenly started being very flowery in his writing, with lots of similes and metaphors, I would lose my interest in him as an author.
So there are a couple of times when the metaphor is more than just a single line or a single sentence or a single word.
If you are using more than one metaphor in your scene, they should connect in some way. Her blood turned to ice at the sight of the giant. Her blood thawed and then began to boil when the giant stepped on her sister. Maintaining that continuity between metaphors, at least within the same scene, helps understand. If you hop between metaphors, it gets very messy and very difficult to follow what you're doing, and it feels flowery. You're not in that moment.
And then beyond just the scenes, sometimes the entire book can be a metaphor itself. This is most often seen in your literature kind of stories, your novels that were written as a lesson or later on interpreted as a lesson for mankind.
The first time I really recognized this part about myself was when we were assigned to read Metamorphosis by Kafka, where the guy, as a teenager, as I recall, turns into a beetle. It was like a metaphor for puberty and changing into something weird and new. I'm going, no, the kid turned into a beetle. That's what the book said.
This is also very popular, not just in the English lit genre, but in the softer fiction genres, especially Christian, where you have allegories. One really good example of this is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. It's an entire representation of Christian values.
A lot of these types of stories are meant to offer something to the reader, and it's up to the reader to ingest and interpret and therefore participate in the storytelling process, because that's what this means to me. This is a lot more of the artistic writing and less of the entertainment writing. This is also a great tool to relate to your readers in what is an abnormal situation for the characters. So if they're casting a spell, an invisibility spell, I drop it on your head, bloop. Okay, we can kind of visually see that because we've seen that in a bunch of TV shows. But the fairy tapped her on the head and then it felt like an egg had been broken and it was gooing through her hair as it dripped down over her entire body. Okay, we have a better idea of the speed, of the temperature, of the goo.
It gives us the sensory details of this moment that would be lost otherwise. Metaphors can also be used as a way to define a character. One of my favorite examples is from Brandon Sanderson's Reckoners series. He has a character who is constantly using similes, calling them metaphors, and they are so bad, but it's purposeful, and it is that character. It is so defining for that character.
If you have a character who is speaking in similes and metaphors, then you need to make sure they're basically the only character who does it. Normal people, and I'm not talking about writers, I'm talking about normal people, rarely speak in similes and metaphors.
And people do use metaphors, but they're common metaphors. Like, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. These are things, we're not literally going to go to a bridge and cross the bridge. We're not literally going to go burn a bridge. But these are common metaphors that we use all of the time. So a lot of what we've been talking about is serious uses for similes and metaphors. similes and metaphors can be very comedic. Like in the Reckoner series, I'm going to read a quote from it because it's amazing. But even a 90-year-old blind priest would stop and stare at this woman. If he weren't blind, that is. Dumb metaphor, I thought. I'll have to work on that one. I have trouble with metaphors. So it's ridiculous, it's fun, but it's in the right place, and he is the only character that does this, that comes up with the most absurd things. So it's defining for him. It's a fun moment for the reader to connect with a character. Because how many times do we come up with saying something and then realize, well, that was dumb, and then try to move on from it? Another way to use metaphors as comedy is to use malaphors. So I mentioned earlier the you burned that bridge, and we'll cross that bridge when you come to it. You can also say, we'll burn that bridge when we come to it. That's a malaphor. It's a mixing of metaphors in a comedic way.
And of course, if you have your laptop in front of you and are just looking for a giggle, looking up metaphors by high school students can be hilarious.
The little boat gently drifted across the pond exactly the way a bowling ball didn't.
Murphy fell 12 stories, hitting the pavement like a hefty bag filled with vegetable soup.
It's so visual and maybe appropriate in the right setting, but man, in the wrong setting with the wrong timing, that is a terrible metaphor.
I love it. So learning similes and metaphors is something you have to kind of learn about your own writing style. This is something you'll start to notice as you read more in your genre, what works and what doesn't, and what you like and what you don't like. Is it adding to the scene or is it just redefining the scene? If you're just redefining, you're wasting time because it can distract, but it can also add so much. Those undefinable moments, those emotions that we don't have words for, similes and metaphors are great for drawing your reader into that emotion.
That's the goal of any writer. Get the readers emotionally invested in your story, connected. And if everything is super literal, it's hard to get that emotional connection. Or it just takes forever because you're spending so much time trying to explain one motion, one movement, one feeling. You don't want to have that distance. And so consider using similes and metaphors, but make sure it's right for your genre. Make sure it's right for you. And if you're like Lee and you don't think in similes and metaphors, go ahead and stick with being literal. That's fine, because what you should be doing is
writing selfishly.
If you have a question or comment for our hosts or a topic you'd like us to cover, send us an email at writingroots@aspenhousepublishing.com or find us on Facebook by searching for Aspen House Publishing.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
The world is full of obvious things which nobody by any chance ever observes. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Before we get started on today's episode, we want your questions. Every December, we talk about...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.